going anywhere. We're just going. Well, that has to go down. That has to go away. Ed, thank you. Well, it's a little early, but that's okay. All right. So we are finishing our journey, guys. I hope you guys are excited as I am. We finished technically last week, but this is kind of like the summarization. Huh? Postscript. What's the end of the book? The ape. No, that's not what I was thinking. I don't know. I can't. I'm not that big on. Sure. The footnotes. So we've been dealing with this mission towards holiness. We're dealing with the whole aspect of that comment that God made, right, in his word, where he said, I want you to be what? He wants us to be holy, right? And the reason for it is because he is holy, and he created us. We're in his image, so therefore we should have no excuse or reason why we can't do this, right? And so a big part of what we were doing in this journey was kind of debunking all of those reasons that we come up with for why we can't. And God's word is good. It is done what it's supposed to do. So that means I have very little left to do. So here we go. When we ended last week, we ended with a very strong conclusion, which was one, that Jesus covered every single way, possible that would keep us from being holy. If there was something that would keep you from being holy, it was dealt with on that cross because Jesus paid for it all. Amen? That was the best news of the entire journey, right? Note this, though, that was God's intention. God intended it. Because there is a plan. That is correct. Okay? But that part of that plan still requires us to do something. Okay? We can't just sit there and allow Christianity to just happen to us. Anybody just have Christianity happen to them? Like, you were just completely entrenched in your heathen behaviors and then you just woke up and you were a Christian? How'd that happen? I don't know. It just was weird. There was a Bible there. I had highlighting marks in it. I don't even know what I'm doing. No, it doesn't work that way, right? We actually have to walk through this, okay? We have to embrace what Christ has done. And here's the catch, guys. It has to be personal. I cannot be Christian enough for every single one of you. Not only that, I don't want that responsibility. That's too much work. Y'all are messed up. I know some of you. I know some of the problems y'all have. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm good. I don't need that. All right? I got my own issues. Right? But there is redemptive power in the blood of Christ. Amen? And that's what we learned. We learned that if anything that we could possibly sit here and throw down and go, look, you know, this is something that's keeping me. This is something that I'm not okay with in my life. Well, there is a cure. The cure is the blood of Jesus. It will cover whatever that is. That's fantastic. Okay, but what is this journey? What is this process that we actually have to go through, right, in order to have the blood of Christ come and remove those spots, those wrinkles, those blemishes that we have in our lives, okay, that are preventing us from being holy, all right? This is the last step. This is it. There's no more, because you really literally cannot do any more past this step. First thing is, we have to be living sacrifices. According to Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a... Oh, we got to do better than this. A...
Living sacrifice.
Thank you. Holy. Holy by itself. Holy. Acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. You guys abandoned me. I don't get this. We got to start over. Start over. This is, I'm going like this and it's just like crickets. I'm like, whoa. What church did I end up in here today? Hold on. Cause if I'm mistaken on one thing, is this church has been kind of brainwashed to know that scripture. So we're going to do it again. Okay. So you don't have to do the first verse. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a
living sacrifice.
Very good. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now here we go. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. Thank you. Woo! Dramatic isn't even the reason for that. I mean, come on. This is streams of life. This scripture means something here, church. All right. First part of this is that living sacrifice part. And I got to tell you something. When you're sitting there and you dig and you dig and you dig in the scripture and you always sit there and you go, well, I want a little bit more. This part was really, really cool because I sat there and I dug and then I was like, oh, well, kind of didn't expect that, but makes a lot more sense now. So I share. Living. Everybody here is living. No dead people, right? We don't have to shovel a corpse outside. We don't have to shovel a corpse or shoot that corpse that raised its hand. Okay, good. So anyway, but that's not the living that this is talking about. See, living sacrifice isn't somebody who's just alive and sacrifices. Because there could be a lot of people in the world that are living and just make sacrifices. I make sacrifices every day I go to work. Because I don't want to go. So I sacrifice. Because I have to. Alright? That does not qualify a living sacrifice. That does not meet the requirement that God is specifying here. What is he talking about, church? Here's what it is. Living actually means to produce action, to be animated and have vigor, to be quickened. Whoa. To produce action. To actually do something. To be animated. It's not drama, it's animation. There's a point to everything. Just remember that. Okay? It's not a dramatic, it's animation. I'm being a living sacrifice. Seriously, church, living means that we have to actually produce an action. You cannot be a living sacrifice and sit down doing nothing. You can't do it. A sacrifice actually has to be pulled out of you. There has to be an actual exchange. You have to do something, okay? And the sacrifice is putting to death what is necessary so that we are pleasing to God. God was having me pray for people, and some of those things that God was praying was simply put, he wants the garbage. That's the sacrifice. Give up the garbage. It seems like a rotten deal that you're getting good things in return for junk. Seriously, I know it seems raw, but that's what he wants. That's why he died. That's the point. He didn't want you to keep it. He wants it out of you so that he can give you something better. But you actually have to do an action to get rid of it. You have to be a living sacrifice. Okay? Now, the very next word is independent. Separated by two commas and one space, and that word is holy. He is separating that word because it's a part of this whole facet. Being holy was what he is all about. Everything that we're talked about up until this point is about holiness, and it's for a very important reason. We present ourselves holy. We present ourselves back to God holy. Why? Because he's asked us to be holy because he is holy. So when we show up and go, God, I'm here, guess what we better be? Thank you. Seems difficult, but it's not. It's simple, right? And what does acceptable mean? What does acceptable to God mean? Well, there's the other one, right? Acceptable means God is the judge of whether or not we are holy. He's the one who determines it. It's not based on what I think. I could sit here all day long and go, I think I'm pretty holy. I got this. All right, God, I'm here. I'm pretty holy. Mm-mm, no, you're not. Go back. What do you mean? Not holy enough. Huh? There's a measure of holiness? No, there's not. It's either you are or you're not. He's just being nice. Okay? It's really straightforward. I don't want us to get too complicated, but let's sit here and think about why he is doing this. Why does he ask us this? Why is he saying that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, that we are holy, and that we are allowing God to judge whether or not these things are so? Why is this so important? Not just because it's our reasonable service, but he is very much fixated on something. See, he has a strategy. His strategy is important. His strategy is against another strategy. Do you ever realize in war, there are two people, right? Because war is kind of boring by yourself. You're just punching yourself in the face. You ever see like, you know, video of Hitler in World War II and he's just beating himself up because, you know, no. War was against one and another. Nation against nation. A strategy versus a strategy. And so in the kingdom, there is still that same war going on. There is a battle. Your souls are in the middle of that battle. And God is on side A with his strategy. And there is Satan on the other side with his strategy and his plan. Ultimately, Satan's strategy is to keep you in corruption, to keep you unholy, because then you are not acceptable, you are not pleasing to God, and the eventuality of that is what? Eternal death. He is already lost. He's not interested in anything else except for robbing God from the one thing that is most precious to him, which is you all. If you're from the South, y'all. Now, if that's true, then what is God's strategy? His strategy is to win them to himself. How does he do so? Easy. He sets this up as a standard and as a calling card to identify you so that you are free from corruption. See, it's a part of his strategy. His strategy is simple. If you're not corruptible, guess who doesn't win? He can't get you. That means his strategy is done, gone, kaput, out of your life. If you cannot be corrupted by the enemy, Satan has lost in your life. He is no longer going to bother with you because he can't. He cannot mess with somebody who is a living sacrifice, who is holy, and is currently and always being judged by God. If I am constantly making that sacrifice out of my life of the things that would keep me in line to be contaminated by the enemy, I'm putting them on the cross, and I'm making sure I'm holy, and then I go to God, my judge, and I say, am I good? And he says, you're good. Bye. No shot. There's nothing he can do. He's got nothing. He's got nothing because God said so. If he's judged me as clean, guess what I am? He's not a liar. I'm clean. Right? And then we go to the next. So do not be conformed to this world. Right? There it is. Clear as day. Right? What's the strategy? The conformity to the world standards. Why? Because the enemy of the world wants nothing more than to just suck you back in, okay? But he wants us to be transformed by what? The renewing of our minds, right? Which we've been through this over and over again, right? But why is he focused on this now? Important. The importance of him fixating on this transformation of our mind is because what do you think is going to lead you back to conformity in the world? What do you think is going to lead you back to not being a living sacrifice, to not thinking about holiness and not presenting yourself to God on a regular basis? Your thoughts. Because your thoughts are in a world where the enemy likes to play. He loves to grab your thoughts. He can even do this for you. Why does he do that? Because is this redeemed? Is this redeemed? See, when we sit down and we really, really, really count the cost, we can always sit down and let Jesus permeate and live in our hearts, and we're all warm and fuzzy, and that's all great and good. Here's the problem when it comes to your thought life. Giving God domain in your brain hurts. Hurts a lot. Why? Because your brain, your mind is full of your emotions, all those difficult things, memories, hurts, all that stuff. He wants that all surrendered. He wants us to sacrifice that. That transforming of our entire existence starts by having our minds renewed. That renewal of our mind literally helps heal those areas in your life. Helps heal. Now, is it all done in one click and it's over with? No. How often do you have to wash your mind with the water of the Word? Every day. Just like you have to present yourself to God, holy and acceptable to Him, every day. This isn't a one-time trick. It's not something that you just go through once and you're good. I'll tell you, that's the biggest lie that the enemy perpetrates in Christendom. Is that, oh no, you're good. You're good. You went to church on Sunday. You listened to the preacher. He gave you a good word. You're good. You're fine. You're perfectly fine. No. No, you're not. Unless you live and sacrifice. And I'm bringing this up because from last week, okay, gave the word, God was good. I'm overjoyed because I don't know exactly whether it makes an impact or not, right? A lot of the time, I'll go, I'll preach, I'll give you guys what God said, and then all of a sudden, it's like, I don't know. Nobody said anything. People kind of rushed out. Did I offend? Did I, you know, I don't know what happened. You know what I mean? Like, did I set fires that I didn't mean to set? God, what did I do? I don't know. Did I use your word correctly? Like, it's hard being up here and handling God's word and knowing that there's power in every word that comes out because it's backed by His word. And that when He moves and He speaks and He utters things, that there's impact. And I don't necessarily know where that comes from. But anyway, I get a text message from Moira, and Moira is telling me about how what God said in His word revealed something deep, something very deep that she was holding on to that she thought was a good thing. But the reality of that good thing was that it was proceeding over God Himself. And it was built out of a lie. It was built before He even had dominance in her life. And it built up walls. And it built up a structure. And it put this thing on the top of it. And it made her worship it. And thinking that now that I got saved and now that I'm embraced and I'm loved in God and all this good stuff's going on, God, bring that back to me. God said to Moira, why would I give you something that wasn't from me from the start? If it's not good enough. It's not good enough. I have something better. But in order to get that, you have to living sacrifice. And so Moira literally had to get rid of an object that was a bond of a relationship that she had that was built on something that was not holy. Because God wants this holy. He wants every area of our lives holy. And so when we're talking about this whole process, what's that end? That you may prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. His goal is that we prove. If anything is interfering with that proving process, He wants it. He wants it. He's not interested in anything else. His eyes are fixated on it. He's looking at you and He's going, come on, give it to me. Why? Am I enough? Am I all? Am I good enough for you? And that happened. And I'm kind of like in two states at that point. I'm emotionally like overwhelmed with Moira because I'm like, oh my God, that's so cool. At the same time, I'm like, Lord, I had no idea. No clue. And that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to be. I don't need to know every detail what God's doing. All I care about is that God's doing stuff in your life. That's all I care about. That God's moving, right? So let's continue on, all right? So when God stated us, okay, for us to be holy, he did so with understanding that the provision for holiness and everything else that we need as he intends us to be is contained in Christ Jesus, okay? Simple. Jesus did not come just to fulfill prophecy. He came so that we have everlasting life and we have it abundantly. And we need this so that we can be the living sacrifices, holy and acceptable. Okay? But, is that enough? Is Jesus enough? Is he enough? The answer is yes, but here's the thing. In all of God's knowledge and knowing of human existence, was God enough in the garden? Oh yeah, he was plenty enough. God is everything. God is plenty. God is always enough. No doubt. God is enough. God was plenty enough in the garden. Everything they needed, God had. Had they only asked, they had. God was enough. But apparently, what is the human fault? No. Man watched woman do it. Don't buy that lie. You want to know what was really going on in the garden? Adam was just like, hey, go on. No, it's okay. Go try it. If you die, I don't want none of that. I'll just have him make me a new one. If you want to know what really happened in the garden? What happened in the garden, Dan? You witnessed something in men? You witnessed something in men that has plagued men since that very moon.
Women are influential.
Not women. You witnessed passivity in man. That is what you witnessed. That was passivity in man at the highest level. And that also is one of the reasons why women now try to domineer over men. It's very true. This is all real stuff. So it wasn't just, oh, sin. Yeah, oh, no, a lot of other things on top of sin happened at that very moment. Okay, but that's not really where we're going. I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on something important, that God was very sufficient, but human frailty still overwhelmed that aspect of God. And so, if we can sit here in our all good Christendom and go, yay, Jesus is enough. That's very brave. that's very brave. But God knew better. He knew better. And thank God he knows better, man. I'll tell you what. I'm so overwhelmed at how much more he knows than me, because not only do I realize how stupid I truly am in comparison to God, like it's not like I don't want to be dumb. Like I like to be smart. I like to know things, but then God just goes, well, did you know this? And I go, boo. I'm smarter, but I'm also brain dead for like literally about an hour. All right. What else did he do? Here's what he did. Colossians 1, 19 through 23. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him. I know this is confusing. I'll clarify it. Don't worry. Whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith grounded and steadfast and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I'm not Paul, became a minister. Change that to Gary. Nah, Paul's cool. I like Paul. Go back to the other, please, Ed, if you could, so we can clarify some confusion, because this is confusing if you read through it quickly. I know how it is, right? So it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. So all the fullness, what's that mean? That's everything, right? That was like I just told you a few minutes ago about in the garden. Was he sufficient? Yes, everything. Everything. God had it. He's got it all. He is creator, all-knowing, all-powerful, omnipotent. Everything, he can just go boom, 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 and stuff happens, okay? So it's all there, all right? But in the same amount of fullness that is in him, by him, he decided to reconcile all things. Come on, all things to himself. So that means it isn't because of what I can do. It has nothing to do with what I'm able to do. He can reconcile everything to himself. That means he's the metric. He is the metric engage. So that means if he turns around and goes, no, you're good, that means guess what? You're good. If he says, no, 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 that's not okay, you need to give that here, guess what you need to do? You need to give it up because he's the gauge. And if all things in the fullness of all things that are good and holy are under him, guess what? I think he's a pretty good judge. All right, moving on. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by him is by him in his son, Christ Jesus, because it was by him that this was even done. So here we go. Recap. All the fullness in Godhead. Full, right? By God himself, right? He's reconciling all things back to himself. Who's he reconciling? Us, right? Because we are the precious ones that he cares most about, right? And in order to reconcile all things back to him, he sent him, his son, to do that act. To do that complete work. That's what that's all about. Clarity? We good? We understand? Clarity, yes. Okay? Now, Colossians 3, 12 through 15. Ed, if you would, please. Therefore, as the elect of God, again, what are we? Holy, and now we're also beloved. That's awesome. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. See, this is all good stuff. But if we go back, there we go. First point, we are the elect of God. What does the elect mean? That means he has chosen you. He chose us. That has been very prevalent today. I don't know if you caught on to that theme yet. All right? So he chose you, right? And then he gives you this thing, says, put on, kind of like clothes. Okay? Put these on. Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Okay. Here's the cool part. Remember I was telling you about he's given you even more than just himself? Like, Christ is sufficient, but I'm not just going to give you, hey, just, you know, here's a Christ. You take him. Take him wherever you go. He's a good. He's a good for you. We're going to get down to specifics, right? We're not just going to leave it with just, hey, okay, he's here. No, we're going to give you even more details. And that's what God was thinking. See, God was sitting here going, I gave them everything, and yet they still chose here. I'm going to give you everything in so much high definition detail that you can't misunderstand me. You can't misunderstand my heart. You can't misunderstand what my goals are. You can't mishear me. No confusion. And why is he telling us to put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another? Why? Because that is who he was. That's everything he exemplified. That's his walk. That's his work. That's what he did every day and still does through us, if we put it on. See, we have an objective now. It's not just, oh, I can be holy because he says I'm holy. Being holy actually requires something for us to do. It requires us to recognize that we must be in all of these categories too. Holiness isn't just one thing. Holiness is expanded. Holiness is being kind, showing humility, being meek, suffering long with others. Guess what? You want to know what's really hard? The hardest part of this? The very last one. But above all things, put on love. Why is love so hard? Because love is the purest and most holiest act of selflessness. It is actually preferring someone else over yourself. And this is a real easy test. Ready? Here you go. If you're the one who's benefiting from it, it's not love. Fact. Is there a mutual benefit? Sure, there is. But if the I is seeking your benefit, it is not love. It is lust. It's that simple. Can't get any clearer, can't get any more complex. It is very clear. And this love that God is trying to perfect in our lives is selfless, complete, 100% adoration. We aren't interested in what we gain. We are interested in how much everyone that we come in contact gains from us. That's why all of those elements are so utterly important. Because if you don't put them on, and you just go out and go, I'm full of love. I can give love to everybody. Guess what? You're going to be like, y'all suck. Y'all are evil people. And it won't take long to get there either. Because guess what? People will take and 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 take. And when you thought they're, oh, you can't possibly have any more to take, I'll take that too. And if you need proof of that, go to Christ. He's walking the streets. He has done all kinds of miracles, and people literally are busting through crowds of people just to touch. Just to touch the hem of his garment. They were desperate. Desperate. And if you're not sure how desperate this world is, just open your eyes. I'd recommend watch a news channel. Don't watch it for too long. But just watch a news channel for just a moment. And you can see how truly desperate this world is for the love of God. But they deny him. They deny him. They'll deny him in you. They'll deny everything about him. But they don't recognize what's empty inside. They don't understand. Because they're so consumed in their own self-love. They're consumed in lust. And lust is an enemy to God. So as long as you're in the enemy side, you can't actually see the true love of God. It's hard. How does it happen? It happens through us. It happens through us putting on tender mercies, kindness, meekness, long-suffering, forgiving others. It's hard. It's not an easy trek. It's not an easy walk, but let's look at the model of his walk. Do you think it was easy for Christ to do everything he did, knowing the ultimate sacrifice that was at the end of that road? He even sat there and said, is there any other way, God? Is there any other way that this can happen? But let your will be done. Just because we're reconciled to God doesn't mean there isn't something else that follows. Reconciliation is very good, okay? That gets us into God's presence. It gets us into that face-to-face encounter with God where we are able to have that great and mighty exchange where we can present ourselves. We can present ourselves to God Almighty and say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. But what is the point of holiness? Does God just want us holy so that he can go, yeah, you did it? No. See, it's not the goal. It's just the starting point. That's just the beginning. See, getting us to holiness is just the beginning. Now that you are light in abundance, you are filled with God's presence, you are in His favor, now He wants you to go out. He wants that light out in darkness, because there are a plethora of other people who have not seen, who have not heard, who have not seen God's goodness and God's will manifest in someone's life. And it's not bragging. It's not bragging when you tell somebody how great and wonderful God is because He's done all these great and wonderful things for you. That's not bragging. That's truth. That's truth. But see, it's really hard for Christianity today, because guess what God's not been doing very much in people's lives? He's not been changing people's lives. Why? Not because He isn't interested, or not because He doesn't want to. Because we're not busy getting holy. We're not busy taking seriously that command where God said, "Be holy, for I am holy." He's very much interested in us getting ourselves presentable, submitting to God, resisting the devil, moving forward in the commands that He's given us in our lives. Because every single day is a new day that God created so that somebody else who doesn't know Him can find Him. And that outlet is you. That outlet is each and every one of us. And so holiness is not asked of us, it is required of us. Because if we're going to say and claim that, "Oh, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Jesus died for me. He did all these great and wonderful things for me." Well, then they better be evident. They better be real. They better be matter of fact. Does that mean you can't make mistakes? Can you? Can you make mistakes and be holy? Can you make mistakes and be holy, church? Sure you can. Because guess who's good all the time? God. He is sufficient all the time. He has come up with the master plan that even in your attempt to try to be holy, for He is holy, that if you make a mistake, He goes, "It's okay. It's okay." What do? You repent. You get your life straightened out. How do you do this? You be a living sacrifice. See, here's the thing, church. I'm gonna change something that we have been going on for a very long time with repentance. That it's, well, it's a 180 degree turn and you're walking away from God. Whoa, 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 whoa. Empty your pockets, sir. Empty your pockets. What do you mean, empty my pockets? You can't take it with you. That thing that caused you to sin, you leave it here. You leave it right here, right now. You don't take it with you. No, no, no. Repentance isn't, "I'm taking this thing that caused me to sin back with me so I can sin again later." No, 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 no. No, you can turn a 180 degree and walk away from it, but you have to leave it there. That's what a living sacrifice does. See, you gotta get rid of it. You can't hold on to it. You can't keep the stuff that is keeping you in bondage. You can't keep the stuff that's letting you go back into the things that have not produced life in you and have just caused death and destruction. You have to move on. Real repentance is sacrificial, because He sacrificed. So He's not going to ask us to do anything that He hasn't already done. So if we're really interested in being holy, and we want to get real, and we want to be holy for He is holy, guess what we better start doing? Sacrificing. Get rid of it. It's not worth it. It's not worth keeping. God, you take it. I don't want it. I want You. And I want nothing but You. And in every moment, from that point forward, the reconciliation and redemptive nature of Jesus Christ rewards you with new, living, filling, great, powerful, wonderful, awesome, mighty things of God. Every day. Not just one day. Every day. And oh yeah, oh wait, I messed up. Okay, that's fine. That means it was just one more thing that you forgot to leave. Get rid of it, so I can give you more in return. Amen? Amen. So if we go on to the next phase of wherever we're going today, now most of you are coming to the Dress Down Sunday, that's fine. I expect a bunch of living sacrifices to let me cook my meat first. No, joking. Totally joking. Totally joking. Totally joking. No. As you go on from this day and every day forward, what I pray for you right now is that you would allow God to just rule and reign. Allow God to be king. Allow God to be mighty and wonderful. Because he already is anyway. He doesn't need your permission to be that. But he wants you to just commit to a relationship that is his. He wants you to commit to a relationship that is centrally focused on him and nothing else. No distractions, nothing that's taking your attention off of him. He wants you to himself. And commit to that first. And after that, then let God do the rest. Release. Let go of the reins, let go of control, let go of everything that you thought was good and positive and great in your life. Just let go. Let him actually have control. It's not you becoming a robot. It's you actually being free. Because God's not the one that has you in control and in bondage. The enemy does. He's the one that wants you controlled. God wants you free. Amen. Amen. So Lord, I thank you, God. I thank you for your word. I thank you for its provision every day in our lives, God. I ask, Lord, that as we continue to just put our trust in you and to just move out in faith, God, in those areas that you are calling us out to, God, that we would believe in you and everything your son has provided, God, through the cross, that Lord, there is nothing that you have not covered us in, and that Lord, that you have provided in every area that there is lack, God. And so we ask, Lord, that you would just rule, that you would reign in this goal of holiness, God, so that we can become that perfect utilization of your will everywhere that we touch ground, God, that we would continue to flow naturally, God, as you always intended us to, in your perfect good grace. We thank you, God. We thank you for your provision in our lives, God. We thank you for the uplifting and encouraging words that we pour out upon one another every day, God. And that, Lord, that we continue to just put on all of those things, those tender mercies, that meekness, that long-suffering, God, and carrying forgiveness and putting on love above all others, God, that we would love you first and that we would love the things that you love. And anything else that follows, God, you'll take care of. Because you love us. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. If you need prayer, be happy to pray with you. No problem. If anything, you just need to sit and just be with God, that's fine. If not, and you need to go, now's that time. You can make your farewells and give hugs. And we'll love on you. And we'll just see you at 1 if you're going to join us, and we hope you all do. Amen? Amen. 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 That's it.